This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Eastern Long Island residents are asked to stop watering their lawns. Connecticut will set aside funds for immigrants who've lost temporary protected status. Plus, a look at a local effort to restore New England's oyster beds. And of course, stay tuned for the bird song break. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Suffolk County Water Authority is asking customers to stop watering their lawns on Eastern Long Island. WSHU's Desiree DiOrio has more.
The alert means usage has gotten so high that water reserves are dipping and water pressure is dropping, a big concern for fire hydrants. The Water Authority issued a more widespread alert earlier this month, but rescinded it Friday for all areas except Southold. Dan Dubois is with the Water Authority.
All of our wells are online, pumping water all day and night, trying to keep up with system demand. And the reason that's happening is almost entirely because of irrigation, lawn watering.
The Water Authority says reduced irrigation, coupled with the recent rain, has restored water storage tank levels in the Hamptons, but not on the North Fork. Desiree DiOrio, WSHU News.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says he's setting aside $5 million to support immigrants who've lost their temporary protected status. WSHU's Ava Keough has more.
TPS is meant for those who can't safely return to their home countries. They are eligible for work permits and are protected from deportation. Last month, the Supreme Court terminated the status for Haitian and Syrian immigrants. It officially expired this week. Advocates say thousands of those immigrants are now ineligible to work and are at risk of detainment and deportation. Lamont says he'll pull money from a state response fund meant to cover the Trump administration's budget cuts. That would leave more than $260 million in the state's response fund. It is available through June of 2027. Ava Keough, WSHU News.
AI scams are on the rise. The FBI estimates seniors lost around $8 billion to them last year. That's up 50% from 2024. U.S. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York is the ranking member on the Aging Committee. She's sponsoring two bills that would empower federal agencies and law enforcement to stop the scams.
Scammers use AI to generate deepfake images, clone voices, and launch phishing attacks that drain senior savings. In many cases, AI didn't invent these scams. It supercharged them, making old cons more convincing and easier to pull off.
Gillibrand says the bills would put the FBI in charge because they have experience with foreign-based criminal networks, and that's where a lot of these AI scams come from. Locally, Suffolk County lawmakers are considering a bill to make it harder for scammers to target seniors in a scheme that convinces them to convert all their money to gold bars. Researchers look at how underwater sound could help restore the region's oyster reefs. That story is coming up. Stay here.
What haunts you? A ghost story? A family story? A story you've never told anyone before? WSHU and the Westport Writers Workshop invite Connecticut writers to take part in Connecticut Voices, a new storytelling collaboration. Start writing, revising, and fine-tuning your original story now. Submissions open September 1st. The winning writer will receive $250 and the chance to tell your story on WSHU. Learn more at WSHU.org.
The days are numbered for King Cullen grocery stores. The chain sold to another Long Island-based grocer, Genta's Meat Farms. That means Genta's will add 24 King Cullen supermarkets and 4 Wild by Nature stores to its 10 existing stores. King Cullen was America's first supermarket, according to the Smithsonian. Developers want to nearly double the size of their plans for an apartment building in Wilton, Connecticut, to almost 400 units. They already got approval for a smaller version of the project in the town's center. About 2 dozen apartments would qualify as affordable housing. Suffolk County health officials say they're tracking three probable cases of tularema or rabbit fever. It's a rare disease usually transmitted from sick rabbits to humans through tick bites. Only a couple hundred cases are reported a year, according to the CDC. It can cause fever, swelling, and skin lesions. Connecticut's unemployment rate has risen for six straight months. WSHU's Shelley Hessman-Kadish reports on reaction from state labor officials.
The State Department of Labor says in its mid-year report that unemployment now stands above 5%. In some parts of the state, like Mansfield, Waterbury, and Hartford, the rate was even higher. But the state reports some positive trends. Labor Commissioner Dante Bartolomeo says the state's economy remains stable, with job growth currently outpacing the nation. She says employers have slowed their hiring, leading to higher unemployment. The state added 9,500 jobs from December to June, led by healthcare and social services. Economists tell Hearst Connecticut Media the increase is concerning, but they stop short of saying the economy is moving toward a recession. Shelley Hassman-Kadish, WSHU News.
The New England coast used to be crowded with wild oyster reefs that provided fish habitat and storm protection, but they've been decimated by overfishing, pollution, and more. Efforts are underway to restore the reefs, and the New England News Collaborative's Barbara Moran reports on research about whether underwater sound might help.
What does home sound like to you? If you live in Boston, your city soundtrack might include the Green Line. Maybe the eighth inning at Fenway Park. Turns out, humans aren't the only ones who know home when they hear it. Oysters, even though they don't have ears, can sense vibrations and recognize the sound of home. Wild oysters often live in craggy reefs, sort of like underwater cities. In North Carolina, a healthy oyster reef sounds like this. It sounds like frying bacon. It's actually snapping shrimp, and it's the dominant sound on those oyster reefs. When scientists at North Carolina State played the sound underwater, swimming oyster larvae liked it. They settled to the bottom and stuck. This is a critical part of oyster development. Where oysters settle can determine whether they live or die.
So it's a cue to say, hey, choose this spot. Other oysters are succeeding here. This is where you want to be too.
Aaron Mooney studies underwater acoustics at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He wondered if the same concept could work here. There are a lot of efforts to restore oyster reefs in New England, but getting oyster larvae to settle in the right place at the right time can come down to luck. Maybe, thought Mooney, playing the right sounds could guide them home. But there's a catch.
So what's different up here in New England is that we have just a very different underwater acoustic environment. We don't have those snapping shrimp. We have different species of fish. And so the question is, like, are the oysters here going to respond to sound in the same way?
In other words, would Massachusetts oysters like a North Carolina soundtrack? Or would they prefer local sounds? Mooney isn't sure what healthy oyster reefs sound like in New England because, as far as he can tell, nobody has recorded them. So that's what he's going to do. Destination, Tisbury Great Pond on Martha's Vineyard. Mooney's team heads out on a boat for a sound collecting mission. Researcher Andrea Salas explains the plan.
So we put out these acoustic recorders called sound traps. Those have been sitting on the bottom of these waters for about a month. So now we're going to pull them up, and we're going to have these nice continuous recordings of the fish and the invertebrates and whatever all is making sounds, and then we can see what in there might be cues for our larva.
The boat heads toward a yellow buoy. Local shellfish constable Will Diamond is at the bow. Diamond helped choose sites in the pond with healthy oyster populations. He seems intrigued by this research.
I find it very interesting. I'm curious to see the data.
Yeah. What do you think it sounds like down there?
Crinkling and crackling, I would guess. I'm not sure what to expect.
The boat stops and Diamond pulls the recorder from the water. It's protected by a foot-long plastic cage. Mooney looks it over.
It
just got like that algae growing over it, so you can't really see. So fingers crossed everything's working. Now we're gonna go back to the lab and listen and see what this area sounds like.
Healthy oyster reefs are pretty rare in New England. The researchers will also collect sound from waters in Maine and Wellfleet, which have healthy reefs, but not like they used to. Dan Goulart works for the Nature Conservancy in Massachusetts. The organization is restoring some of the oyster reefs that once thrived off the coast.
Early explorers refused to enter Wellfleet Harbor because there was so much oyster reef sticking up out of the water that they thought it would jeopardize their vessels.
The reefs were nearly wiped out by overfishing and are now under threat from pollution, development, and climate change.
So we've gone from tens of thousands of acres of oyster reef to not even 1,000 acres statewide, I would say.
Which is why the oysters need all the help they can get.
Do you want me to hold the phone up to it or?
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple days after the boat trip, Mooney reveals some of the sounds picked up in the Martha's Vineyard pond. There's some wave noise, some boat noise, and a lot of this. Call it Sweet Caroline for the oysters. Mooney says it's a common fish called a cusk eel.
It's like, you know, you're shivering and your teeth are chattering. It's kind of this like rattling sound.
Over the next 2 years, Mooney's team will use these sounds for lab experiments. They'll play sounds to oyster larvae swimming in tanks. Either local sounds, North Carolina sounds, or plain old fish tank sounds. They'll measure what the larvae like best by counting how many settle into shells on the tank bottom.
Does Massachusetts sound work better than North Carolina? Or does either of them work? We don't know. We don't know if our oysters are deaf or don't care about sounds, or they only want to hear Neil Diamond or what.
Mooney hopes his work will eventually lead to a sort of New England mixtape that can boost production for oyster farmers or make reef restoration easier. His job for now is to figure out the soundtrack to make oysters feel at home. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Barbara Moran.
This is WSHU's Birdsong Break. This week, a common year-round resident of our region, the Northern Cardinal. That bright red color actually comes from their diet of fruits and seeds. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break featuring the Northern Cardinal this week. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Visit WSHU.org for more. For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen to us on the radio, online with our free app, and tune in here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And for more from WSHU, be sure to check us out on Instagram. Give us a follow, leave us a comment on there. It really helps us out. We are at WSHU Public Radio. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a fantastic Friday and a great weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.